Oh, hey, I know that music. Oh, yes. This music gets my juices flowing because that only means that the man on the other side of the phone, the sexiest man in Burbank, is none other than Paul Preston.
Hey-o.
My.
He's got some lugs.
He does.
At least someone does.
You got an epic heyo.
Yeah. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, first of all, can I be heard okay? Because I am talking on my phone kind of took a crap, and so I'm on headphones. But hopefully it's not bad.
No, you're coming in loud and clear, dude.
Yeah, super clear.
Good, because I got to tell you all about this great Sharknado documentary I saw.
Do it.
What shall we discuss?
Oh, let's talk about what we went
weekly
to.
Dose?
Let's talk about what we went to first.
Yeah. Well, you talk about seeing a great show tonight. We saw a great show last week. There's a great show happening every night in Southern California. So now that the world has returned, I mean, get out there and enjoy this stuff. And we went to The Empire Strikes Back in concert.
Ooh,
yeah. Now, these things sometimes tour, but I think in L.A. you're going to see more opportunities to see great movies in concert more than anywhere else. And what that means is they show the film, but they've pulled the score out of the audio mix, and the score is played live on stage. They do it at the Bowl all the time with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra or the LA Phil. Here, this was the Pacific Symphony Orchestra, I believe, and they played the score of Empire Strikes Back live while you watched the movie on a big screen above them. It's pretty incredible.
It was fascinating. And, you know, I've never seen it done like this before. It was my first time. And so Paul had an extra ticket. We went. And it was so cool. I mean, it was nice to be among the nerds again. You know, it was so awesome. And they passed out, the City of Hope also sponsored the event. And they passed out these miniature lightsabers for everybody. They changed different colors.
Aww.
And it was so funny because there were certain parts through the whole thing, like when Darth Vader comes up, you know, for the first time, and you hear the Imperial March, and everybody turned their lightsabers to red. And it was kind of like being in high school. You know, like when everybody does the alma mater, and you put the two fingers forward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they're all waving the lightsabers.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no discussion about this. The nerds just
intuitively knew.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, you know, where we were sitting, we were kind of in the middle. So I look to my left, and all I see is a wave of red, you know, just going back and forth. I look to my right, it's a wave of red going back and forth. It was awesome.
And anytime Yoda did something, everybody put it on green.
Yeah. And then when the fight came cool. with Luke and Vader, the majority of people put it on blue. There were a few people who put it on red.
You picked a side.
Yeah, you picked a side. There it is. Yeah. There's the little lightsaber.
Wow.
So
awesome.
It was really cool. And I can't thank Paul enough for taking me to go see this thing. And it was so nice to see the film and then to hear the orchestra. You know, and there's times where the balance was really good and you forgot the orchestra was there.
Really?
Yeah. And then
that's the thing. By the end of these, you will...
It changes colors.
Somewhere halfway through, you'll realize, oh, that's right, this music is live, and it has been for the last hour. And then by the time it's over, you'll go... They didn't miss a note or a cue. You know, like they did it all perfectly, and this happens all the time. And it's super impressive considering, you know, sometimes I don't know how long some of these classical pieces are, but to play this orchestral music to cues perfectly, I mean, I'm always super impressed. So that Pacific Symphony Orchestra is great.
And they started from, you know, the 20th Century Fox intro.
Oh, wow.
From that point all the way to the end of the credits. They played all the way through.
Well, that's cool.
So it was just absolutely amazing. I think the only complaint Paul and I have, though, about about 5 points, okay, because this is now down and in the and Paul, I confirmed it. It is the actual old El Toro Air Base.
Oh, okay. Yeah there were plenty of sort of weird abandoned.
Kind of looks like one of those. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean like the things that people that the airplane people use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hangers?
No. Like.
No, she's talking about the lightsaber.
Yeah, the lightsaber. It looks like. Oh, the
right. Yeah,
things.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five planes crashed during the concert because they saw what we were doing.
Right?
Went
I know.
In the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the biggest complaint that Paul and I had was that they've got food there. They've got drinks there. There are some food trucks.
Yeah.
Now, what I was surprised by this, though, was that we actually had an intermission.
Hmm. At what point did they break the movie up for the intermission?
That's fun. Every time I go to one of these, I try and predict it. I thought it would be, there is another.
Mm.
But it wasn't. It was before that. When did exactly they do it?
I know when they restarted the film, it was one of my favorite scenes that I missed, which is where you get to see all the bounty hunters.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, this was just before that.
Yeah. But the thing was that it's intermission.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the food trucks, all of the 5 points, their own food stuff, like the pizzas and certain wines, were all closed at intermission.
Oh.
This doesn't make sense. Mm. You have people coming out to get food, and, oh, I'm sorry, we're closed as we're walking to their line.
Yeah, pretty dumb. But how do they make it up to us? We didn't pay to park, which I was amazed.
Yeah.
Considering thousands of people descended on that place.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
First time there. Overall, I give it a thumbs up for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a cool venue, and it's not too huge. You still kind of can have some kind of intimacy with the movie and the orchestra without being, I feel like, God bless you going to SoFi. You can't be further away from an artist than when you're there.
Right.
Except it sounds like your tickets are different. But if you have a bad seat at SoFi, it's just you might as well be in the parking lot.
Or watch the video at home.
Yeah.
And let's not skip over the movie. All right. Empire Strikes Back.
Ah.
I mean, this is risky storytelling meeting excellent filmmaking, still kind of hanging on to the 70s vibe that made Star Wars great before, you know, Return of the Jedi and 80s goofiness set in where, you know, Sarlacc's burp and Chewbacca's Tarzan yell. I mean, this was like a real awesome. Yeah, this is just a great movie. And it's Han Solo's coming out party. As a guy who hosts a podcast called The Ford Fiesta, where we're looking at every Harrison Ford movie that he's ever made.
Wow.
By 80, you don't know he's a movie star. He's still an ensemble guy, and the films where he was the lead, Hanover Street, Forrest 10 from Navarone, is this guy going to be what the potential shows as Han Solo being such a great character? And of course, right after Empire is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and we're off to the races. Yeah, and he's the man from that. He's like, what summer movie is Harrison Ford putting out this year? Yeah. I'm going for the next 20 years.
Yeah. For sure.
But, I mean, I agree with Paul here. You know, Empire, I think it's when people talk about Star Wars, they talk about what is their favorite favorite movie, you know, segment of it.
Installment of it,
Empire is, like, right on top because it's, like, what is going to happen with these characters? What, you know, it is that middle chapter, you know, in a three-act play of everybody's in the worst situation, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is written very well to tell that story, to continue the story and everything. I got to say, though, knowing what we know now, it really made it funny with certain scenes, though. So, like, towards the beginning, after Luke gets rescued from the Wampa by Han, and he's back and he's in the infirmary or whatever, there's the argument that happens between Leia and Han, and the scene where, you know, she goes, well, I guess you still don't know anything about women, and she goes over and kisses Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting to hear about 15,000 people go,
the benefit of hindsight, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's really funny to watch. And then you hear everybody laugh afterwards.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they laugh at themselves making cringy sounds.
Yeah, because we all know they're brother and sister, you know. But overall, you know, that movie, it still holds up to this day, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of really course, does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It still holds up. Because other movies from 1980 that take place in 1980 don't. But because this one had some other world to it, you know, it's just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Watch like another 19. Watch On Golden Pond. You'll be like, whoa, what is this hair and costumes all about? It was accurate to the time, but Raiders takes place in 1930, so it will forever look amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, they had the best filmmakers of the time. After Star Wars, Lucas could go get anybody he wanted. And they had great players. Of course, we did have to watch the special edition, which I'm never thrilled about. But there are fewer awful choices made in the Empire Special Edition than some of the others. And they changed it again. Like, he keeps tinkering. When the first Special Edition came out, when Luke finds out or is told that Vader is his father, he seemingly steps off the platform he's on to basically kill himself. They went and added in a special edition Luke going, ah, as he falls down the shaft. Now, if he's falling, it seems like he slipped. You know, it's like, well, you've changed the intention of what Luke is doing. Just to add some sort of echoey, like that, you forgot that, like you missed that. Like, yeah, that's an awful choice. It's now gone. It wasn't in the version we saw. So he's just, the guy's constantly tinkering with his movie. But what we're left with really is mostly just like extra Wampa footage. And so it could be worse. It could be worse. It could be that entire song in Jabba's palace, which is, speaking of cringy.
Yeah. I mean, he could have had like the Wampa say, well, that's not going to heal well, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It could be worse than you could have been watching the Star Wars Holiday Special live to music.
Oh, with live orchestra accompaniment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. Oh, my God. I might make that happen. I'm going to have to put my producer hat on. What a great idea.
Yeah. But, Paul, thank you again for taking me to that, man. That was just fantastic. I had a great time doing that.
Yeah, it was in your neck of the woods. So,
yeah.
I mean, why not?
In all seriousness, for anybody out there listening, you know, even in our affiliates, you know, if you get a chance to see something like that, go to it. You know, it is a wonderful, wonderful experience to hear an orchestra live play the score to you know, some of these great films. And, you know, they've done E.T., they've done Back to the Future, they've done Close Encounters, they've done so many other ones. Notice there's a theme here of John Williams.
Well, the Hollywood Bowl just did Amadeus. They've done 2001 in the past. They always do a Harry Potter movie, it seems like, every year. So, it's awesome.
Yeah. So, go
Nightmare Before Christmas. And they bring, and here in L.A., they bring out, like, Catherine O'Hara,
Paul Rubens, yeah,
and Danny Elfman to sing, too. So,
yeah. So,
cool.
definitely take advantage of that.
Nice.
So, all right, Paul, what else we got, buddy, real quick?
I saw a film. Well, first of all, I saw Elvis, the recent Baz Luhrmann take on the King of Rock and Roll. Oh, not so good. Not good. I mean, Austin Butler is amazing as Elvis, but you got to filter through all of whatever the hell Baz Luhrmann is doing as director of this movie to see how good Austin Butler is. You know, there's hip hop music in it, you know, like Luhrmann has this penchant for putting modern music in his movies. But, you know, in Moulin Rouge, I get it was a choice. It was how the movie worked. In Great Gatsby, I went, well, this is against the time period. And now putting hip hop in, you know, with the King of Rock and Roll in the era when rock and roll is at its height, it just makes no sense.
Got it.
It's an intriguing choice to tell the story through Colonel Tom Parker's eyes, as opposed to like doing musical biopic outline number one with here he's born and here he discovers rock and roll and here he discovers this and here he signs his first contract, whatever. You know, they kind of do a different take on the narrative, but man, Baz Luhrmann is annoying. he can't leave alone the editing, the special effects and the sweeping care. I mean, like, I always thought he did his dancers in Injustice and Moulin Rouge with the overcutting of their dance sequences. But here, there's even no reason to cut around, and he's doing it all crazy. So that's a shame. Elvis deserves better.
The actor that plays Elvis, I was looking at something the other day with Mark Thompson, and Mark was saying that he feels that actor might win an Oscar.
What
do you
think? If he gets nominated, I wouldn't be shocked. He's excellent. Especially because he's such an icon, and you could just kind of float through the movie doing an impersonation, but he actually, you know, handles the emotions and the situations and the pain.
Right.
And of course, you got to gyrate and put on the show like Elvis would. There's a whole sequence of Elvis versus the censors that I didn't even know existed. I always thought Elvis was kind of a passive superstar. You know, he didn't write a lot of songs. And I thought he was told where to go and what to do. But there's a sequence where if he's on TV and he shakes his stuff, there could be an arrest made. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that actually did happen, yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of goes, screw it, I'm doing my thing. And I'm like, yes, well, Luhrmann, cut the shit and let's watch that. But instead, you know, there's a bunch of nonsense in there. That's the best sequence in the film, I think. And man, was Colonel Tom Parker just an overwhelming piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised, too, seeing Austin Butler cast as this, because he's, like, a Disney kid. Like, I watched him on TV growing up, and then I was like, him? Like, he got cast as Elvis? Like, it was just so random to me. I was like, this Disney kid?
Wow.
Is that where he came from?
Yeah.
I saw him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He played Tex, if you remember, out on the Manson Ranch.
Yeah, that's right. Guy. Mm.
And he ends up being with the trio of people who bust in the house at the end. And he's good in that, but I'm like, holding a whole film? But he absolutely does. It's just a shame, again, that he's saddled with this nonsense of Lurman's.
With this film, I know a lot of people are comparing it to Kurt Russell's version that was done in the early 70s. I don't know if have you ever seen that one?
So long ago, I couldn't even compare it. You know, there's a lot of movies I saw when I was a kid that need a rewatch, you know, from Network and Chinatown right on to stuff like that. You know, I watched more Dexter Riley movies, I think, than Russell as Elvis.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was...
Dexter Riley, anybody? No Dexter?
No Dexter Riley here.
The computer wore tennis shoes, the strongest man in the world. Yeah, Dexter Riley. Now you see him, now you don't. Anyway, the Disney years of legend Kurt Russell are special.
But I was looking at, like, I was like, I wanted to see what movies and stuff he's been in, because I was like, I swear I've seen him in a ton of stuff. But yeah, he's been in, like, Disney's Wizards of Waverly Place, which was back in, like, 2007 to 2012, and, like, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, which is, like, a high school musical thing, and Switched at Birth, and Nickelodeon shows, and he was on Zoe 101, which is another, like, Nickelodeon thing, and The Carrie Diaries, which was, like, a spinoff of Sex...
In the City.
Yeah. And so he's been in some, like...
So he's been transitioning into more adult roles.
And So he's been in the
So this
the
is a good transition for him overall.
Yeah.
Paul, we got about 2 minutes left, buddy. What else do we got?
Well, first of all, let me just say that anybody, you know, could go way south. They could go the Lindsay Lohan route, you know, as a Disney child. Like, so good on Butler for being more of a Ryan Gosling coming out of all that making a career. So I needed to cleanse the palate. The next day I went to see a movie called Emily the Criminal. And this is an indie film starring Aubrey Plaza. She's working at a food delivery service. She's an artist, but doesn't get much time to pursue it. She's kind of mired in student loan debt, timely, and kind of works the gig economy, which is never like a positive situation to be in. You know, the bosses can screw you because you're an independent contractor. And based on a friend's recommendation, she attends a meeting, and this will just set up the whole movie, and hopefully you'll want to see it after I just explain it. She attends a meeting based on a friend's recommendation where a guy says, you could make $200 in the next hour. You'll have to do something illegal, but you don't have to hurt anyone, and you will not get hurt. Who's in? And turns out it's buying something with a stolen credit card, and no doubt the items that the people in this room buy, these guys are going to resell and make some money. But she starts getting used to the money she's making running on these little things. She gets roped into buying bigger and bigger items. Next thing you know, she's the title of the film, Emily the Criminal. But this is a fantastic movie. Not just because you're watching the frustration of somebody trying to do the right thing and losing their ability to do it because of the system. You know, there's a moment where she chews out someone offering her an unpaid internship, and it's a cheer moment. It's like a stand up and cheer.
Right.
But this is the tightest script of the year. Things build, things make sense one scene to the next, and there is no fat. And I had to look up the dude who did it. His name is John Patton Ford. He's made a short film and this, and it is highly impressive that this is his second thing and his first feature. And no doubt Aubrey Plaza saw this and said, oh, because she's a producer on it. She probably went, I'll be a producer, but I got to be in it. And she's fantastic. She's got some vulnerability here that I don't see her have much. It always seems like she's kind of putting on a performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's good to hear.
Yeah, so she's very good here.
Oh, nice.
I'm urged to compare it to something like Better Call Saul because it's efficiency and it's deliberateness. But it's made a little different. You know, it's handheld camera, the slightly more kinetic style of filmmaking, not Baz Luhrmann, thank God. But, you know, he's a little more energetic in the way he makes film. But there's surprise after surprise. And what, you know, the guys at South Park always said that this is how they write their show. It's not this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. It's this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this happens, therefore this happens. And that's how this plays out. You know, one scene happens, it leads to the next that, oh, because this just happened, I wonder what now. Oh, this now. Okay, and we didn't have to wait to the end of the movie for that. So what now? And this now, you know? And by the time you get to the end, you're like, ah! And there's a great finale. There's real danger in the movie. The director's not making any bad calls. You know, it's serving movie fans. It's a real movie. I would go check it out. One of the best of the year.
Awesome, brother.
Nice.
Awesome, 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 awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this lightsaber. I've been playing with it like most of the time you've been on the phone.
Hey, I can't make the crew show because I'm going to see Raiders of the Lost Ark for like the 40th time tonight on the big screen in Hollywood. But can I ask a question of the crystal ball?
Yeah, let me
just before I leave, I want to ask a question.
Let me turn it on.
All right,
let me turn it on here real quick
because I've two big. Properties are returning.
Uh-huh.
House of the Dragon came back, and I enjoy it. It's high drama. It's not quite as funny as the Tyrion Lannister, but it is something. It's a big universe. It's a big swing, and I enjoyed it. So I have to ask the crystal ball, will The Lord of the Rings of Power, be any good?
Oof. Definitely not.
Crushed.
Ouch.
I know. The first time that thing has said like a hard no.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Paul, I don't know if you saw it. A new trailer came out for it yesterday or the day before, and I thought it looked good.
You know?
I did. Yeah, I checked that out, and I got tickets to see the first two episodes this Wednesday on the big screen, which will definitely help it for me because if you take those two fantasy properties. I'm more of a Game of Thrones guy than Lord of the Rings, so hopefully this helps it. Well, big screen helps it out for me.
Paul, let's ask it a different way. Maybe because you asked it, will this be a good film? I think maybe you should ask it, will I enjoy the film?
Oh, okay. I would like to know that.
Okay.
So. Crystal Ball, will I enjoy The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power?
Definitely yes.
Okay, so the film's going to suck, but you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
All that matters.
What's that say about me? I haven't really... No
I
one's
going
to take my opinion
standard.
Seriously.
Yeah, so at least now you know, Paul.
Ah, well, so anyway, I'll
now
just be watching She-Hulk if you need me.
Fair enough.
All right, brother, we will catch you next time, my friend.
Farewell, your weekly dose gang. Bye-bye.
Oh, we'll take care, Paul.
I dropped it.
I'm taking this away from you.
Yay!